put the Packers on the same level as Nebraska football as if we hired like Brett Favre as our head coach, because that's basically what Nebraska did.
We also both wear weird shit on our head, like they wear like corn on their head and we wear cheese.
Sure.
Driver, I said, drivers, start your engines.
Hello, and you are welcome for listening to On Wisconsin. We are in the national portion of our podcast. Go ahead, do me a favor, go download the local portion of our podcast if you care at all about Wisconsin sports. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do. So, joined by the same, you know, group of four people, we got Jeremy up in Minnesota.
How we doing?
Brady up in New York. And then Bill in Wisconsin.
Yo, yo.
All right, let's get into it. We're going to go to this is our first podcast of the year. We actually might be dropping a little bit of a special one-year anniversary podcast on Tuesday. And so we want to just play the hits. And so we're going to go right into Bill's College Football Corner.
It's Bill's College Football Corner, where Bill talks about college football. In a corner, because we don't know anything about college football, but Bill does. Richard Sherman, what do you think about Bill's college football corner?
The best corner in the game.
And Shannon Sharp, what do you have to say about Bill's college football corner?
An elite level corner.
So take it away, Bill.
Hey guys.
Billiam.
Hey, Bill.
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
I'm excited for the last college football corner.
Bill, are you sad?
I am.
The
I
season am, one like the finale.
Move to tears. Yeah, this is, as Brady said, this is the season finale of As the World Turns. I mean, college football corner. all the bowl games have been played. All the national champions have been declared, and so we're going to review. And there's no better game that I would like to start off with than the Cheez-It Bowl, where TCU beat Cal in overtime 10-7.
Wow.
How many interceptions were there, Bill?
A lot. There were... nine.
Oh.
More interceptions than one team scored points.
That is correct. And almost as many as the other team scored points. just so you are aware, at one point in the game, TCU put in a quarterback who has drop foot. Do you know what that is?
What is that? Can you explain that to me?
Drop foot. That is a medical condition where your foot doesn't work like a normal foot does. And so they put him in for one play, and he ran for a first down and then left and never came back.
Explain to me, when you say a foot doesn't work like it should, what is it? What does that mean?
Okay, do you know how, as a normal person, you can walk and run and do all those things with your feet?
Yeah.
His foot doesn't do that as well as a normal person.
Is it just like limp, or like is it what?
I got it here. We're at the Mayo Clinic website, December 14th article. Foot drop, sometimes called drop foot, is a general term for difficulty lifting the front part of your foot. If you have foot drop, the front of your foot might drag on the ground when you walk. It isn't a disease, rather, foot drop is a sign of an underlying neurological, muscular, or anatomical problem.
Thanks, Brady.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so that game was so much of a rock fight that TCU was like, yeah, you have a condition where your foot, it's harder for you to like actually move your foot, so we're going to put you in at quarterback and you have to run for a first down.
You know,
I got a coach.
I have a coaching move. I think they should have put him in at wide receiver because he'd always be able to drag that one foot because he literally can't lift it off the ground.
Ooh.
One foot in bounds, that's a completed catch.
You always have one foot in bounds because his foot's just going to be dragging behind because it's disabled.
Yeah. And not just so people understand. So naturally, Cal saw this player going in with who has an injury, and they went, well, we're going to send the house. So they do. The quarterback drops back, and this like linebacker comes flying up the middle and hits the quarterback and bounces off of him. And then the quarterback goes, I got to run. And then he drop foots his way in for a first down.
He drop foots his way in.
If I was that guy, every time I got a first down, like, you know, like Cam Newton does like the point thing, I would just like stick my foot out there and like drag it on the ground.
Sure.
Just like dragging around in the dirt for a little bit.
Yeah. So that was the exciting Cheez-It Bowl. I'm gonna move on now to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, where the Wisconsin Badgers rolled over Miami and got Mark Richt the hell out of there. They beat him so bad, Mark Richt said, fuck this, I'm done coaching, period. Hanging him up.
It seems like the Badgers need to play Miami like every game.
Yeah, they would never lose.
That's because Miami is the only team in the entire country who has a worse quarterback than the Badgers.
Two of them, actually.
Which is astonishing. They should get more.
They should. I'd like to give a shout out to Jonathan Taylor. Underrated running back.
Underrated.
Yeah. 2,000 yards rushing on the ground. I mean, he won the Doak Walker, so I mean, not really overrated, but I mean.
He won the what, Bill?
The Doak Walker. Of course, the Doak Walker.
I thought you said the Dope Walker, and I was like, is that like a, I don't know what that is. It's like a literal.
I thought it was another medical condition.
No. The Doak Walker Award is the award given to the best running back in the country. Named for Hall of Fame running back Doak Walker.
His first name was Doak?
I would imagine so. That's why they named it after Doak Walker.
Spelled D-O-A-K.
Correct.
Actually, his name isn't Doak. It is Ewell Doak Walker II.
That's what they should name the award. That's what they should have named the award.
I'm sorry, what is his first name?
E-W-E-L-L. Ewell, the well. And his Ewell? Middle name is Doak.
Is that pronounced Ewell?
Oh, for sure, Ewell. I'm just bad at reading.
No one's been named that since like 1932, Brady. I don't blame you.
Well, so he won the Heisman Trophy in 1948. So he was literally, he actually might have literally been named that in 1942.
He might be the last person to ever be named Ewell.
He was born in 1927, so you know he survived the Dust Bowl and the
Great Depression.
Great Depression, and he came
part of the Greatest Generation.
He was 5'11", 175, went to SMU.
How do you spell that name?
Played for the Lions for 5 years. He won 2 titles with the Lions in the NFL.
That's the last time they were good.
He played for 5 years and won 2 titles with the Lions. That's so wild.
How do you
57? 52 and 53.
Oh.
How do you spell that first name?
E-W-E-L-L.
Are we sure that that's not the name of the big fat guy in Breaking Bad who's Bob Odenkirk's assistant?
That's Huel. That's Huel. Huel with an H.
Huel.
That's Huel. H-E-U-E-L-L, I believe.
But you know what? If you're from New York, it is Huel because they just eat the H.
Hold on. I got the definitive pronunciation right here on YouTube. Okay.
Thanks, Brady.
Bill, what else you got for us while they're going with all this?
That's a good question, Jeremy.
Ewell.
It's Ewell.
Thank you.
One time for the folks at home. One more time. For some reason, this video doesn't play it right away.
Ewell.
All right. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
I'm gonna move to the Rose Bowl. I'm gonna jump around a bit, so I'm moving to the Rose Bowl. Ohio State beat the fraudulent Washington Huskies 28-23. I just hate watching Washington because this is what they every year. Oh man, because the Pac-12 is so fucking garbage. Washington wins it by default, and then they get exposed as the shit team they are with their shit quarterback Jake Browning. And I'm just tired of it.
Whatever happened? That's where Jake Locker went, right?
I don't know that one.
Okay, let me get on that. Hold on.
Okay. So while you're doing that, I wanted to talk about the Rose Bowl game, not because of the game itself, because Urban Meyer is a piece of shit, and the media, after he won, they all was like, oh man, Urban Meyer is such a good coach, and then it's like, I don't know. I could have sworn he covered up a sexual assault investigation, but that's just me. Anyway.
Jake Locker absolutely went to Washington.
Okay. It came the other day. I don't know if you guys keep up with a lot of the news, but former Georgia Bulldog quarterback and now current Ohio State Buckeye quarterback Tate Martell is now transferring again because former Georgia quarterback Justin Fields is transferring to Ohio State. And that's, you know, whatever news, but it turns out that Tate, his first name is actually Tathan. Tathan. Like Nathan, but with a T.
Tathan's hot dogs.
Yeah.
I would not eat Tathan's hot dogs, but I would eat Nathan's hot dogs. So
you're right.
Fair.
Who names their child Tathan?
Let me guess. He was born in the South.
I'm on it. I mean, Tathan Martell. I mean, you should get bullied in school.
Bill, this is your segment. You can't be on it looking up stuff.
Well, I mean,
I'm on it.
He's from San Diego, which is, I believe, an old wooden ship.
Typical of those wooden ships to name their children Tathan.
Tathan.
Well, so I just Googled his name, and I found a website that was called Nathan Martellus is stupid, so.
But I think that's a different person.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
just,
good talk.
It's just a whole website about how this
off the rails. Let's keep it going.
Let's go to the Sugar Bowl, where after watching the University of Police get destroyed by Clemson, Georgia players, Georgia fans took to Twitter by storm and said, "Oh, really? Four best teams, huh? Really, four best teams?" And then Georgia lost to Texas.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
real bad right. Loss.
Oh, guys, that means bad loss. Texas is back.
It also, it does, that is a crutch. I mean, it means Texas is all the way back. So look out for Texas getting a top 10 preseason ranking and then finishing 8-6.
Bill, what was the name of the Texas quarterback?
Ellinger, I believe.
Is he the one that like did the like very pro wrestling interview after they won and went to the fans, "We're back"? Was that him?
Yes.
Oh my God, that is going to be so funny when they lose their first game next year to Maryland again.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sam Ellinger was their quarterback, and also they had a really good wide receiver, little Jordan Humphrey.
Who?
Lil Jordan, first name, last name Humphrey.
Whoa, his real first name is Lil Jordan?
Yeah, L-I-L apostrophe Jordan.
Okay, so he definitely, like, his parents wanted him to be a rapper. Are they disappointed he's playing college football?
I don't think so. He's doing pretty well at it.
He's not a rapper.
Humphrey's not a good rapper last name. It just isn't.
I think they just wanted him to be a baller in general, which I think you can do as a wide receiver.
Fair.
Or maybe his dad's name is Jordan, and instead of calling him Junior, they just called him Lil, you know?
True.
Yeah, maybe. I think we're getting hung up on it. I just think
actually, his dad's name is Ross Herbert, so.
Thank you, Brady.
Yeah, so. Ooh. Yeah, so we'll move on to the Redbox Bowl. There's not much to say to that other than Oregon beat Michigan State 7-6.
Oh my God.
And that game was a one-day rental, right?
Yeah, that game was watched and then immediately returned.
Good.
Yeah, you're not keeping that thing for 3 to 5. You are, I mean, honestly, if you called Redbox and said, "Hey, I just watched this game and I immediately just threw it in the trash," they'd go, "Yeah, we understand.
We didn't
want refunded.
They would have refunded them. I have some bad news, guys.
Bill, no, what?
The Fiesta Bowl. UCF lost.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's right.
To LSU.
Finally, I had a chance after that pick six.
Yeah. So, an upset.
So,
So LSU are the national champions?
Yeah.
I think by transitive property, that's how that works, yes.
Brady, how do you feel? Coach Ed Orgeron is a national champion. Thoughts?
I don't think he could spell national champion if he tried.
There's no doubt about that.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Tigers. And I-O-N.
Hey, keep your mouth shut. I'm doing a press conference.
Hey, guys.
So, I'm going to wrap it up here. Talk about the game that everyone watched.
The game.
That everyone's been talking about it.
The First Responders Bowl.
That is right. The ServPro First Responders Bowl, which got canceled. The first ever game that was called a no contest. That means it didn't happen. Which I would like to, this is a good segue for me, because when I heard that happened, I had a couple thoughts that I had to write. The ServPro First Responders Bowl got canceled due to the weather, blah, blah, blah. So I had written this before the Pinstripe Bowl, but I said, I hope New York City gets frozen over like in the movie Day After Tomorrow, and everyone dies, so people realize having an outdoor bowl game in a baseball stadium in New York City in January is dumb. And then I realized that the ServPro First Responders Bowl and also the Pinstripe Bowl has awakened my belief in utilitarianism.
Awakened or just furthered and heightened?
Yes. So I would have been okay with everybody in the Pinstripe Bowl, even though there was my own team, I would have been okay with all of them dying in a freak, weather-related incident, just so the rest of the country would go, hey, this isn't right. We should not have bowl games.
Bill, I don't think you know what utilitarianism is, because that's not it.
Sure it is. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
That's not.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brady. Please don't tell us what it is.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
It's more Machiavellian than anything. But
your
I said don't.
Narrative, so you're wrong.
I'm muting myself. I'm sorry. This is your corner. I'm finding myself. I'm gone. 2 minutes.
Get out of here.
So, anyway, after that rude interruption.
Can you believe this guy?
Yeah, this dude. We're going to move on to the national championship. Where? Clemson. I was just muscle memory. I was about
Clemson.
The Clemson Tigers. Old Dabo Swinney. Upset. Nick Saban. And the Crimson Tide beat the brakes off of 28-point victory. Are you kidding me?
That's some family. Would say eviscerated, Cotton.
Some would say that. There are a lot of choice adjectives that you could choose to describe the beatdown that the Clemson Tigers put on Alabama.
Evisceration, castration, domination. Pick one. Choose one.
Any adjective that ends in T-I-O-N. It's there. And it fits.
Mike, do you have thoughts on the national championship football game?
I really don't, no.
That's fine.
Get out of here.
I actually think the game was a lot closer than the score showed. I think that Alabama... What? Yeah, I think that what happened was...
They didn't score in the second half.
Bill, yeah, they moved the football.
They called a fake... I mean, Nick Saban, that's how you knew the game was over. Nick Saban channeled his inner Kirby Smart.
Can we talk about that?
On fourth down,
that was such who didn't know that was coming? Did you see the video of the snap holder who like looked at the sidelines and like gave the nod, like, okay, we're gonna do this? I mean, it was so bad.
And then they got their bonehead kicker to be the lead blocker.
Do you know how unprepared, I should say, actually prepared that Clemson was for that? They didn't line up with their special teams. They had their starting defensive line on the field because they knew a fake was coming. And so Clemson's kicker, who's lead blocking, ran into Christian Wilkins, who, I don't know if you guys know, is really fucking good, and just ate him alive and swallowed up that whole play, and it went nowhere.
And then right after that, a cornerback who's covering one of the Clemson wide receivers, his ankle explodes.
Yeah, he just –
and then it's a 75-yard touchdown.
He just falls over in agonizing pain, just, oh, my God.
Like, how many things have to go wrong in order? It was wild.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is if you could take away a lot of those, like, you know, take – you know, let's say they make the field goal, you know – take away, you know, one of Tua's interceptions. You know, take away maybe Alabama gets a couple of those pass interference calls that, you know, could have been called but weren't. You know, Clemson probably still wins by a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Those Clemson wide receivers were insane. Bill, who was the guy? Was it Tyson Ross? Is that his name? Yeah.
Oh, Tyson, I think Tyson Ross plays baseball.
Either way, I think the dude's last name was Ross. Look out for this kid in 2 years when he's available, because
it was Justin Rose.
Sure. I think it's spelled with a Y.
It is. It's Gustyn.
But when these kids go to the draft, I want these kids on people's radars. If you do that to Alabama, like, that's the closest thing to an NFL defense you're going to see in college. And if these guys take it to Alabama, these guys are making one-handed catches, they're beating everybody. Like, that's what I said about Mike Williams when he went off in the national championship. I'm like, this guy's going to be pretty good. Let's keep an eye on him. So if your team needs a wide receiver, Green Bay, maybe let's look at this Clemson wide receivers.
I can confirm that Tyson William Ross is an American professional baseball pitcher for the Detroit Tigers in the MLB.
Stats.
He previously played for the Oakland Athletics, San Diego Padres, Texas Rangers, and St. Louis Cardinals.
Stats.
He was an All-Star in 2014.
Stats department having a day today.
Can I get in here and defend the cops now, or no? Is that not okay?
No.
In Bill's book.
Blue lives do not matter, Mike. Get out of here.
Okay. I mean I won't. But if anyone wants me to defend the cops here, I think that it's a good spot.
I would like to hear it.
Does this like ass beating by Clemson over Alabama make the cops loss look a lot better?
It makes them look better in the fact that they only lost by 27 as opposed to 28.
Right. So, like, I didn't think that there was any chance Notre Dame found its way back into the Final Four for a while just because they got, like, killed. But then Clemson went on and killed Alabama. Like, it makes the cops and it makes them look, like, a lot better. A lot better.
Incorrect.
Okay.
They scored 3 points. Three.
That's fair.
Yeah, they lost in a worse way.
Yeah, they lost by 1 point less than Alabama, but they lost much harder.
They were more inept, okay? They were more inept. They were shittier.
They didn't look like they belonged, even in the slightest.
But without your preconceived notions about Alabama, Alabama did not look like they belonged on the same field as Clemson.
You just said you thought the game was closer than the score. It clearly looked like they did.
Yeah, like, you're really just jumping from both sides of this argument.
Mike, you're wrong about this. Talk about Kyler Murray.
Oh, you want me to jump in the Kyler Murray boat?
Well, we're talking about college football. It makes sense.
On the rundown, it says Kyler Murray-Mike. So
yeah, we love your thoughts.
Okay, so I don't want to, like, talk about the should Kyler Murray play football or baseball? I just think that's, like, really boring conversation. But you guys have all seen Moneyball, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. How is this conversation going over with Billy Beane to Kyler Murray? How can you?
Which Billy Beane?
Great question. The straight Billy Beane.
Okay.
The GM of the A's.
The GM of the A's. Okay. You didn't have to say straight. You could have just said GM of the A's.
We all know what you were asking. So how does this conversation go if you're Billy Beane? Can you, like legitimately look Kyler Murray in the face and say, no, you should play baseball, after the biggest decision you ever made in your life was between baseball and football, and you chose baseball, and then you were terrible? And, like, you've said multiple times, like, it's, like, the worst decision you've ever made.
That is a fun angle. And, wow, I bet you he's just telling him probably his story. He's like, Billy Beane's a down-to-earth guy. He gets it. He's probably like, look, man, do what you really think you're best at. Money's not important. Do what you want. And if it's me, I'm telling him, go take the money and play football. You'll be a star. But Billy Beane's probably just like, look, man, do what your heart telling you to do. Because me, I sucked at baseball. and did not pan out.
And he played center field. He was a quarterback. It's like almost the same exact situation in Billy Beane.
Was he the same kind of prospect? Like, I feel like, was Billy Beane like the best pitcher prospect and the best quarterback prospect?
I think they're projecting.
Whatever. I mean, is he the best? Like, was he the best? Like, was he a top three in both? Because, like, he could be a top pick in both.
I think they're projecting him first round in either league.
He already got drafted.
Okay, like, well, he was ninth overall, yeah, but that's insane.
And then the other thing I have, if you're Billy Beane, so the rule is if Kyler Murray goes and plays football, you get that first round draft pick back, okay? So if you're Billy Beane, would you rather have him play both football and baseball and play for your team while he's also playing football and take on the chance of injury? Or would you just give him the ultimatum and say, you know what, dude, just go play football if you really want to, because I want that first round draft pick next year.
I would absolutely make him pick one.
Take the draft 100%. Pick. Make him pick one and take the draft pick.
Teddy Bridgewater almost lost his entire leg in a practice of football where he wasn't even touched. Career-ending injuries are like always a split second away in football. If he's going to go play football and baseball, I don't want him on my team. I just don't.
That's a bad example.
I mean, it's just how easy it is to lose, like to get hurt really, really easily. It's a non-contact.
A baseball player could have stepped on a pebble in the outfield and done the same thing. Teddy Bridgewater's leg clearly must have been ready to snap.
You don't hear about that though in football. Mickey Mantle
broke his leg on a sewage drain in the outfield. You know that? He tore everything in his knee because he like tripped over a sewage drain in the outfield.
Classic.
What about that?
I just wouldn't want him if he's also playing football.
Agreed.
He's going to get an injury.
Take the draft pick and let him play football if that's what he wants.
Here's my take. All right. You guys. Oh, shit. Hang on. I almost turned off my computer. that would have been bad. Anyway. Yeah. So everyone's arguing, man, Kyler Murray, you should play football. No, you should play baseball. No, I should do both. Kyler Murray, don't do either. Don't play sports. You know why? This is an argument Brady can get behind. Don't play sports because college athletics is about getting an education.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's getting paid in education, so.
So, yeah, that's my take. He should really worry about getting his degree because that's what really matters in life.
His degree. Cardale Jones got his degree.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. That was all I had on there. I just thought it was interesting how Billy Beane would actually have that discussion. Because if Kyler Murray has seen Moneyball and Billy Bean's like, no, dude, you should really play baseball. I think it's what's best for you. I would just be like, bullshit. Like, that is such bullshit coming from you.
Yeah, but I feel like he's not doing that. But I don't have the most nuanced take, which is fine. But I think Billy Beane's probably knows what to say. I think he's saying the right things. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Benefit of the doubt. But Mike, let's talk some NFL. How's about that? And I know
some NFL.
We're talking NFL. And I think just the way that this is worded, I think you want to talk about this Sean McVay thing right away.
Ooh, I actually did not type that. But
ooh, whoever did, go for it. I think you really want to do it, whoever wrote it.
So I wrote that last night because we talked about it a little bit during the local hour, but I mean, everyone says, you know, oh, the NFL is like a reactionary league. If you want the most reactionary thing the league could do, it is seeing one head coach who doesn't have a lot of experience be good, and then the entire league go, we have to get anybody who's even looked at him. We have to get him on our team. Shit, McFleur. He worked with McVay.
McFleur,
whatever. I'm going to call him McFleur now.
That's good.
Colin McFleur. His name has been legally changed in my brain.
Matt McFleur.
Anyone who has worked with McVay, we should just add Mick in the front of it. If you
good
just
call.
Have Mick in the front of your team, I'm surprised you're not getting signed.
Yep, that's good.
The NFL has always done this, though. Like, anybody who's been near Bill Belichick has gotten a job.
Yep, we're going to get to it.
Mike McCarthy had a bleeping coaching tree for a while. Like,
have you seen Mike McCarthy's coaching tree? It might be three coaches.
Yeah.
And they're all very, very bad.
Oh, Brady, we are going to get to the carousel.
They were not hired because they were near success one time in the NFL. The NFL has no idea how to decide who a good coach is or isn't, so they just find people near success.
Okay, since we're on this topic, do we want to get to the coaching carousel?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, if you guys want a quick visual, audio medium, but really quick, everybody wants to look at my visual really quick. I drew horses.
We'll be tweeting this out from the pod account.
I drew horses, and I put all the coaches. So it looks like we only have two clean divisions after Black Monday, and that would be the NFC East and the AFC South. Miraculously, the AFC South has all of their coaches. But the turnover we have, coaches that have gone, Mike McCarthy, axed. We have hired Matt LaFleur, and he is in my next graphic here. Matt LaFleur would be in. We have lines here. We have the velvet ropes of all the coaches with the fast pass,
oh, wow,
who have just passed coaches already. Then we have Sean McVay's friends. Matt LaFleur is on there. And then we have the chains where people who just actually might want to get a good job and are just not getting consideration, or they're just not good coaches.
I have a question. Why is Cliff Kingsbury grouped into the friends of McVay?
I mean, come on.
He's young and hot.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
He's a good-looking young man.
He's young and hot.
Oh, and Jeremy, to take your club, like getting into the club analogy even further, and they're not letting the black people in either because they're closer to urban. So,
yeah.
Boom.
So we got Matt LaFleur taking over, and then what I really want to do is keep track of a lot of these, maybe year by year, and just see who is shuffling around where. And I'm going to give you a quick shuffle right away.
Shuffling.
Dirk Cutter fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because, well, he sucked. And then guess what? Out of retirement comes first in line from the fast pass, Bruce Arians. He's back. Ooh. Retired, but back.
Didn't he say that he would only coach the Browns and then he took his job?
Yep.
Brady, Urban Meyer's retired. Stop thinking about it. So then here we have another one, my favorite one. Todd Bowles gets fired as a head coach, and immediately we're just swapping coaches within the division. Adam Gase takes over for Todd Bowles, who has been fired from the Dolphins, and now Todd Bowles already has a job with Bruce Arians as the DC with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's incredible. Marvin Lewis finally gone. Marvin Lewis finally out of the picture here. The AFC North cuts Marvin Lewis, Hugh Jackson, and Greg Williams. Ah, poor guys. And then in comes Sean McVay's friend, Zach Taylor, because he looked at him for 10 seconds. And again, we see some of the people like the hardworking Dan Campbell and Pat Fitzgerald not getting any consideration.
Jeremy.
Yes.
I just want to get in here real quick for a second. If you are not driving your car right now, go to our podcast account and look at the images that Jeremy has drawn so you can get a nice visualization of what we're talking about here. Because it's, first off, it's great work by Jeremy, a true artist at heart. Second off, it makes this so much better when you're actually seeing what he's talking about.
So then the last slum of people that we have, Vance Joseph, finally been fired. And a division with two African-American head coaches, the one nobody thought would get fired is the one that got fired. Anthony Lynn is still holding strong with the playoff team. And then the bastard Broncos stole Vic Fangio from me, and I hate everybody and everything. So, instead of people who don't have the jobs quite yet, what I have in my fast pass line right now are the head coaches that were former head coaches, and now they're going to be the people we all get really mad about when they get consideration for coordinator jobs and even head coaching jobs in the future. So we're going to keep, this is hopefully going to be a year by year thing if I'm diligent. But Bruce Arians, job. Todd Bowles, job. John Fox is in line. Rex Ryan's in line. Forgot about this one. Chuck Pagano is back. He is the Bears defensive coordinator now. Another fast passer, Don Capers. Nobody seems to want Don.
Don, yeah.
Jeff Fisher, nobody's called him yet. Jim Caldwell has gotten some consideration. And then coming up the end, Marvin and Hugh are waiting in the fast pass line. But they're at the end of the fast pass line, so it's not going to be very fast. And then,
how long do we think it's going to take for Marvin Lewis to get hired?
I think he might retire or just go into a front office job. Again, hiring.
He's going to get a front office spot or like an OC or like a quarterback coach spot. I don't think he'll be a head coach for a while.
I think he'll only take an office job because he's like 1,000 years old now.
Brady, if you're Jim Caldwell, do you start like stop taking interviews because you understand why you're getting the interview? Are you eventually like, no, dude, I'm not going to take this interview because I know why I'm getting the interview?
But you can't not, right? Because he has to at least try to get the job.
But so like, I would honestly just tell him to bleep off. I'm like, just tell him you interviewed me. Honestly, I'm done with this.
But then again, he probably doesn't think that way because this is why we get so mad. These people think Jim Caldwell can still be a good head coach. This isn't like a bullshit interview. All these teams probably still think he can be a good head coach.
Sure.
And then
he probably interviewed for all 9 open positions.
And then as we go to the very bottom of our list, as we said in the local hour, our boy Mike McCarthy is going to be taking a year off. So that leaves him right there waiting. Mike is waiting in line for his opportunity to coach again.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Mike is playing it smart. You know what? He came from a stressful couple of years as head coach. He's taking a gap year. All right.
It's what the college kids call a gap year.
He's figuring some stuff out. He's figuring out his life. He's figuring out what he wants to do next. And then when he's ready, he's going to come back. He's going to kill it.
It's what the millenniums call a gap year.
Jeremy, if you end up not being able to look at what Jeremy drew, at the bottom of all this fancy artwork is just a stick figure with a circle as the midsection, and it just says Mike McCarthy next to it.
He's waiting. Just wait, biding time. Okay, so did we want to talk playoffs at all? We have games today. It is Saturday.
Says Jeremy's a betting man now. Talk to us, Jeremy. You're a betting man now? What's going on?
So here's the deal, guys. I finally got in on one of those websites. I don't know how much, but I might just do it live. I'm putting money on the Saints -8 because the Eagles are stupid, they're bad, and the Saints are going to eviscerate them.
Sounds like a non-emotional pick here with your betting.
Not even a little bit. The Eagles aren't good. I would like to stay there.
Should we go around and choose our picks for the games today?
Absolutely.
Come to me last because I don't even know who's playing.
Well, we got him right here, Brady. First game of the day. Ooh, I like this one. This might be my favorite one of the weekend.
Wow.
Colts at Chiefs. The Chiefs are -5, 3:35 Central Time on NBC. I really like the Colts in this game, and I feel really dumb. But I like them. I like the Colts.
All right, I am taking Kansas City. It's going to be close. I don't think Kansas City is going to win by as much as maybe some people think, but I think Kansas City is going to be victorious.
I've heard we're predicting weather. It's going to be a little bit of weather involved.
It was snowing this morning in Kansas City.
Ooh, good to hear. Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, what's the over on that game? That might be the play here, the over.
56?
It's always the play with the Chiefs, but still. That Colts offensive line is actually scary good.
If it's the Colts, or if it snows, I'm taking the Colts. You know, they're Colts, man. They do better in snow.
Yeah. The over-under is 56. I like that.
And, I mean, they run the ball so much.
Yeah, I don't know where they got this Marlon Mack character, but good kid. Loves the game. Plays hard.
He does love the game.
Brady, who do you have?
Man, I don't know.
Okay, next.
Oh, great. Hey, thanks, Brady. Really nice. I don't know.
Idiot nerd.
Well, because the money is probably going towards, I want to say the Chiefs, but if it's only a 5-point spread and the Chiefs are at home, that means most of the money is going on the Colts, and like Vegas isn't usually wrong.
Only 5 is pretty big. Last week,
Brady, do you know how betting podcasts work? You can't say I don't know.
But like the Chiefs get 3 points for being at home, so they're essentially, the money is saying that on a neutral field, the Chiefs would be less than a field goal favorite.
Still favorite.
Yes.
Like, that's essentially a pick'em.
So but it's not.
If the game is, if the spread is at 2 points, then it's like.
Brady.
But it's not,
Brady,
though.
Pick a team.
No.
Okay, next. You're out. At 7:15.
You were like cheaty from The Good Place.
Ugh. At 7:15, we have Cowboys at Rams. The Rams are a 7-point favorite. And I don't know. That might be a good play, too. I think the Cowboys can cover, not necessarily win. I'm kind of off on the Rams a little bit. I don't know why. They've looked really bad the last couple weeks. I mean, they destroyed the Cardinals week 17, but God, who doesn't do that? Todd Gurley's still, like, not really that healthy. I don't know what his deal is, but he, like, just started practicing again. I don't know. The Cowboys can also screw me over in the worst way, but I like them to cover.
I will never bet on the Cowboys, ever. Never will. So, Rams.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams. It's an easy pick for me.
Am I allowed to make a pick?
Are you going to make a pick?
Yeah, I don't like the Cowboys, and I really want them to lose, so I'm picking the Rams. Cause...
Oh, see how easy
yes!
that is?
Yes!
Wow, what a guy. All right, noon on Sunday, we have Chargers going to New England. Patriots.
Philly!
Ooh, MVP. Just kidding. He's not an MVP. Wish he was. But the Patriots are 4-point favorites, and I have nothing to say about this other than emotionally, I'm going with the Patriots. They own the Chargers, and I'm going to believe that till it happens, until they
I'm
lose.
I'm taking Phil Rivers. Phil Rivers guy here. I'm gonna say go get him, Hoss, and I'm gonna take the Chargers here, the LA Chargers.
Mike, are you wearing a bolo tie? In solidarity.
I am.
Could you imagine having an AFC Championship game in a soccer stadium?
That's what I want.
If the Colts and the Chargers win, I mean, gross.
Soccer is finally getting big in America.
Next man up. Next man up. Sport. Wait, yeah, Bill.
I am taking the Chargers in the underdog.
Am I alone here?
I'm going to take the Patriots at home in the playoffs because they always win that game.
Let's go. Me and Brady, same wavelengths here, finally.
So, again,
wrong.
Mike is wearing a bolo tie in solidarity. So, in solidarity, Philip Rivers, I will be having 9 children.
In solidarity, I'm going to wear a fake pair of glasses with a camera in the lens.
Oh,
did he do that?
Nope, but I'm just videotaping the things I see.
Yep.
Oh,
that's what the Patriots do.
Ah, okay. I missed the joke.
I just happened to be around at the time, not doing anything suspicious, I swear.
Man, you just happen to be taking videos of the other team's practice.
It's fine. It's fine. Nothing happened. It's fine.
What do you think film is?
Since everybody's doing a thing in solidarity, that's a joke. I'm going to go walk around local parks and find children playing with assorted sports balls and deflate them. Just pop them right in their faces.
Slash
and
them. You're going to slash them?
Yep, just going to deflate all the balls.
Good. And then Sunday night, not necessarily Sunday night, the late afternoon, 3:40 Central Time on Fox, the New Orleans Saints, 8-point favorites at home versus Big Dick Nick and the Philadelphia Eagles. This was supposed to be the NFC Championship game last year until literal miracles happened. The Saints want this game. The Eagles aren't good. Drew Brees is mad that he's not going to win MVP. They are going to the NFC Championship game. They're going to the Super Bowl, and I'm throwing $25 on the Saints -8.
Wow. I would also like to take the Saints. But I don't know if I'll be putting $25.
I don't have that much money to bet on a game, but I'll also take the Saints.
Oh, all right. Well, I will go against the grain here. Give me Doug Peterson. Give me Nick Foles. Eagles win by 14.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, that's a bad take.
Yikes.
Jesus, bad.
The 8-point underdogs are going to cover by.
The 8-point underdogs are going to win outright.
Guys. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt. I have breaking NFL news. You're hearing this officially. First breaking the news from Autosponsored. No one else is breaking this. No one else is saying this. We are the first. Freddie Kitchens is officially the Browns' 17th full-time head coach.
Let's go!
I would have gone with Johnny Bathroom, but that's just me.
Well, there you have it. We have our NFL picks, and in solidarity, like I said, going to get a secret camera. Brady is going to go slash footballs. Bill's going to just go on a sex rampage and Mike, woo, who knows?
Mike bring a bolo tie.
Oh, the bolo tie. Forgot about that one. And right, before we get to segments, I feel like we have to. Brady, we want to squeeze in one very quick NBA thing. Doesn't have to be anything here. And just something quick. Let's just talk about it for 2 minutes.
The Bucks are good. James Harden is absolutely insane. This is the only stat I want to say because this isn't my stat of the day. James Harden shot 16 three-pointers last night against Cleveland, and 15 of them were pull-ups. So, and like, there's a graph here of who shoots pull-ups, like comparison, like three-point attempts, where it's like, either, you know, do you take a catch and shoot or do you take a pull-up? And literally, nobody. And it's per game, it's per 36 minutes, how many pull-ups or catch and shoots you take. And the highest person who's not James Harden takes 6 pull-ups per 36 minutes, and he averages almost 12. He's an absolute mutant. He's a freak, and he's breaking basketball.
James Harden, I think, in like the last a 10-game stretch, shot more three-pointers than like 100-plus people in the league have shot all season.
Yeah.
He's just playing Morey ball, and it's the greatest. And they still lost to the Bucks. Bill and I watched that game, and it was incredible.
Yeah, all I was right. I was gonna say, if James Harden's so good, how come they lost to the Bucks at home?
Heyo.
Because of CP's girl.
Also, I have a James Harden stat. If we're doing James Harden stats, real quick.
Sure.
How about the only two players
so far this season in the NBA to make 7 or more three-pointers in 2 consecutive games, James Harden and Brooke Lopez.
Are these James Harden stats or are they just Buck stats?
That was a Brooke Lopez stat. That was not a James Harden stat.
It was a Brooke Lopez stat disguised as a James Harden stat.
Ooh.
It was a Trojan horse stat.
It was a Brooke Lopez stat and it was wearing a fake mustache and Groucho Marx glasses.
It was a Splash Mountain stat.
It was.
Oh, also, Steph Curry is 3rd all-time on the three-point list.
You just totally jacked my stat of the day. Go bleep yourself.
That's not a stat of the day. That's just knowledge anybody who watches basketball could have figured out from being on Twitter yesterday. Monster.
Get out of here. We're going to segments. Come to me last.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
All right, my stat of the day, so you guys can all tune out real quick. Everyone, go ahead, tune out. Tiger Woods is the only player in history to win both or all 3 of the U.S. Junior Amateur, the U.S. Amateur, and the U.S. Open in his career. He's won 3 of each.
Sheesh.
Do it in a major.
One of those is a major.
Ooh.
Do it more than 3 times.
Yeah, 2 or 4 times, nerd.
I'm really glad you guys listened to that stat. Wow.
Listen to what?
Yeah.
Mike, did you vault response after everything you say about him?
About who?
All right, Bill, your stat of the day.
My stat of the day. Did you guys know that the Pirates are bad?
How bad, yes. Bill?
How bad are they?
If you think about the teams that you root for, think of the last person who hit 40 home runs or more on that team. Can you guys got some names maybe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Rizzo and Bryant did it recently.
Pretty recently. Like I think Chris Carter did it like a few years ago when somehow he was our first baseman. The last player on the Pirates to hit 40 or more home runs in a season was Willie Stargell in 1973.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Right when you said Willie Stargell, I knew a 70s name was coming.
Hey, he's a Hall of Famer, but that's fine.
Jeremy?
My stat of the day, considering what – take these as you want. Kirk Cousins became the first player in NFL history to pass for 4,000-plus yards, 30 touchdowns, complete at least 70% of his passes, and throw 10 or fewer interceptions. Wow, what a great season, Kirk. You were
that
so good.
Like, you sounded like you were Kirk Cousins reading that stat. Good. That's how I think Kirk Cousins sounds.
Good, I hate him.
Do it in the playoffs.
Thank you.
Make the playoffs.
My stat of the day is the same thing Jeremy said, but I have more stats on top of the stat to make it a unique stat. So as Jeremy hijacked earlier, Steph became the third on the list of all, like, you know, career three-pointers made in the NBA.
Has he done it in like 1,000 less games, Brady?
Not 1,000. Read a book. And last night he scored 28 points in 27 minutes, and he passed Jason Terry, who was third, which is kind of wild. But he is 700 behind, or less than 700 behind Ray Allen for number one, and he's done it in less than half the games.
It's like Devin Hester in punt returns.
Yep. So he's just wild.
Mike, did you want to give your stat of the day?
I was going to say
no.
Brady.
All right.
Hold on. Brady, I was going to say, if you were having trouble finding one, you could have just read the Bulls' core plus minuses from last night's game.
Were they all minus?
Well, Wendell Carter had like a minus 40 in 17 minutes of play.
Jesus Christ.
How is that possible?
I think you guys started the game like down like what 20-2 or something crazy
like
that. It was
43-17 at the end of the first.
Oh my god!
How do you guys not have the number one pick?
Because the Cavs are even worse. Because
how?
I don't know. We're not gonna get Zion, and this season's gonna be a waste.
All right, it's Cam Reddish season.
Who? Who's gonna go first?
I'm going first. It's Sling and Stern season, boys.
Ooh, alliteration season.
What does that mean for the national people, Phil?
That means David Stearns, the general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, slung it around and picked up Yasmani Grandal on a one-year deal, the top free agent catcher in baseball, just snatched him right up. That's going to be very good for the Brewers.
When did the former NBA commissioner become a baseball GM?
That's a good question.
Great question.
I think it was after he got fired or quit from the NBA.
Oh, I think he quit. Resigned. We'll use a good term. So I have a couple. I don't even really know which one to use, but I'm just going to go with the one that kind of works for everything. I'm going to go. It's ballot season. Oscars time, Golden Globes time, stuff that I don't care about. It is All-Star season. It's just ballot season. It's voting season.
It's Baseball Hall of Fame voting season.
All right, exactly. Ballot season.
Mine is it's young white coach season, because if you're in the NFL and you're young and attractive and white, you're going to get hired. So
carousel season?
Well, no, I wanted to be a little more lib than that, you know? I needed to have a little bit of a take. But you're not wrong.
Yeah. Michael?
It is my owner is cheap season. Because if your team doesn't sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, you're going to see all throughout your timeline it's because your owner is cheap as hell, even though they may have offered like $300 million over 10 years.
Ooh, have I said on air why I think that I want Bryce Harper to go to the White Sox?
Because it would be funny?
That too, but... I need the White Sox rebuild to be, like, really, really, really sped up. I need him to just be there because the Reinsdorfs own the Bulls and the White Sox, and I need one of these teams to not be a shit show. I need this Bulls rebuild to kick it into gear because the White Sox are good.
Hey, that's a good financial take.
Thank you.
All right, do we want to do Back from the Dead?
Yeah, I got one. I scrummed one up.
Sure.
Back from the Dead, Jameis Winston's career. Bruce Arians has said that they are rolling with Jameis Winston. He will be our quarterback.
Ooh. Wow.
Yay, sex offenders. Woo.
Solidarity.
My Back from the Dead is Minnesota Mankato State. because Adam Thielen had a kid. First off, congrats on the sex. Second off, did you know he went to Mankato?
Dude, no way.
First time I'm hearing it.
All right.
My Back from the Dead. It's Back from the Dead. Bryce Harper staying with the Nationals.
Ooh.
Everyone was saying, you know, just wait till the 2019 free agency. Bryce Harper's gone. Bryce Harper's going to leave. You know, he's going to the Yankees. He's going to the Cubs. He's going to the Dodgers. And now it seems like the tides have turned. The winds have shifted. It seems like the media is saying Bryce Harper is staying home.
Rock and roll.
It's time to pour one out. Or sorry, Back from the Dead. Wow. Jake Paul being a twat is back from the dead. YouTuber Jake Paul recently said that, quote, it's male only March. We're just going to attempt to go gay for just a month. So he's pretending to be gay for a month for views on YouTube. So go fuck yourself.
It's a spectrum, Brady.
Go fuck yourself.
Why are we indulging him?
Because he's a twat.
Jeremy, when you go back and edit this, bleep out his name so no one knows who we're talking about.
All right, who's got poor one outs? I have one, but I don't really like it.
I'll start us off. I've got a good one that needs a little bit of...
I have a good one.
So I'm going to pour one out for Trevor Bauer.
Ooh.
Because he's just a knob all the time.
Bauer outage.
Yeah, and he... That's his Twitter at, is Bauer outage.
Jeez.
And so a couple days ago, he was whining on Twitter about how reporters never ask him personally about, like, things that are happening with him. He tweeted, "Note to reporters, if you're going to write baseless hit pieces about me and not even interview me for the story, at least stick to your guns and don't bother saying hi to me in person. If you hate me, just hate me and stick to it. Don't be soft." So then an hour after that tweet came out, reporters went and interviewed him and asked him about why he was harassing a 21-year-old woman on Twitter and digging up things in her personal account, because, like, her past, because she said that she didn't like him. And he was interviewed for 39 seconds and left. So, Trevor Bauer, you're a snowflake, and GTFO.
Yeah, but he said he would be better on Twitter next time.
Yeah, he also was a racist one on Twitter, so just get out of here.
He apologized. It's cool.
He did. All right.
My pour one out is for Tariq Cohen. Did you guys see this video?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I didn't.
It was probably the worst block to happen to a Chicago Bear in the last couple of weeks.
I'm leaving.
Was he blocked, or was he making the block?
He was blocked. Okay. So he was playing a pickup game of basketball against people who were very obviously not athletic. And he went up for a turnaround jump shot, got blocked by some skinny white guy. And then the skinny white guy was on a breakaway. He tried that move where you cut in front and try to steal the ball. And the white guy went around his back, and Tariq Cohen looked god awful. It was probably the most embarrassing L a Bears player took in the last couple of weeks.
Ooh, just coming right at Jeremy. He's shutting down. Okay, who's next? I don't know what's happening.
I'm next.
Is Jeremy a Bear fan?
Yeah, no, Jeremy's officially shut down. So, Bill, you next?
Yes, I would like to pour one out for the Colorado Rockies, because all of their good players are gone or are going to leave.
Like?
Arenado's going to leave. LeMahieu left. Tulowitzki left. I mean, who do they have?
Charlie?
Meh. He'll leave. You know, I mean, it's too bad.
Okay, does anybody else have to go? That kind of got off the rails.
No, we don't have to go. So, Bill, the thing with the Rockies... I like that LeMahieu's gone, because they have this stud in their minor leagues that they haven't called up because they've had too many second basemen in Trevor Story, and it's time for this Brendan Rodgers kid to come up. I think he's going to be really good.
Okay.
That's it? That's all I got. And
That's fair.
Yeah, my poor one out is going to be the Oscars, but I don't care about the Oscars, so, like,
you shouldn't.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was about it.
And that's it. That's our podcast. Right? That's it?
Yeah.
All right. You are welcome for listening to On With Spodson. Rate. Subscribe. Leave us a review only if they're good. Bad reviews, go somewhere else and do that. Don't do it to us. We know we're bad, okay? Tell us that we're good.
Download it on your mom's phone.
Yeah, download it on your mom's phone.